Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 1:17 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is June 16th. And today we had another follow-through on the upside, and that was a pretty impressive move by the NASDAQ today, where it had been in negative territory for part of the day, but recouped all of the loss and is back again testing this psychological 10,000 level. Now, one thing that we can certainly look at, just rather than thinking about the size of the decline and the speed of the advance, but rather let's think about the consistency of the move on the upside since March. Reactions have generally been confined to about 500 points, and that has happened on more than a couple of occasions. The most recent is somewhat larger, but it is occurring from a very psychological important level, which is 10,000. So now the question is this nothing more than a very brief consolidation within an otherwise very consistent advance, a steep but consistent advance, or are we looking at a bigger consolidation which could see it come back to the region of the trend mean? Now, we have had a number of instances where additional measures of monetary and fiscal stimulus have been announced in the last 24 hours. The size of the Fed's balance sheet has pretty much stalled over the last week, but they did announce that they're going to start to be more aggressive in the Main Street lending program. Of the hundreds of billions that have been allocated, only about 5 billion have in fact been doled out. So there is going to be a much more concerted effort to get money out and into the community. So that is a positive. Then you have the fact that President Trump is talking about spending $1 trillion on infrastructure. Well, that's pretty much inevitable. There's going to definitely be some form of infrastructure development announced. Whether it is in the current administration or the next one is really the big determining factor. But there is another important point about liquidity, and it is that the CARES Act and the expanded unemployment benefits that were introduced expire in the middle of July, and we're currently in the middle of June, so there's really only a month to go. And we have rising case numbers in California, Arizona, Texas, and Florida, so pretty much the Sun Belt in the USA, and that represents a very significant number of citizens. So now the question really is, how successful, following the initial bounce, are we going to be in getting back into economic prosperity? The one thing, though, that we can say is that this continued promise of additional liquidity and the potential that there will be additional fiscal measures introduced to ensure that there are going to be successive rounds of additional spending have helped the major Wall Street indices like the NASDAQ and the S&P 500 bounce from psychological levels. 3,000 is a big level for the S&P 500. It represents the region of the 200-day moving average. It was an area of resistance in 2018 and 19, and now we're seeing consolidation above it. That's really the best of all possible worlds. Now, one of the things that we can also look at are that there are other issues. In the retail sector, there are bankruptcies, but in the e-commerce sector, we can see that there are a significant number of shares that are doing rather well. Amazon is certainly one of them. Etsy is another. It has popped on the upside. Now, this is something that's similar to both Etsy and Shopify, that they had these very large downside key reversals in the middle of May. And that was a signal that we were seeing a little bit of ebb and flow in terms of the liquidity-fueled advance, but there wasn't really any measurable follow-through. And in fact, what we've seen is not much more than a consolidation above the previous peak. And when we then think about Shopify, which is certainly one of the most impressive movers on the upside, it also had that downside weekly key. excuse me, key day reversal, but again, not too much follow through, and it's now back testing the peak once more. So there is clearly some additional interest in the e-commerce sector. Then when we think about, well, what is it that is likely to be the biggest trend coming out of the coronavirus? Perhaps caution would probably be one of those things that everyone has had a shock, and it is going to take time for confidence to reappear. And people are forcibly or voluntarily now looking online for the retail experience. Obviously, this is also a generational thing, that older people still prefer to go to stores, younger people prefer not to, and that is likely to remain the case. Now the question is, how long will it take for restaurant demand to pick back up? There are, I think, when we look at what Jay Powell was talking about in here today, it's quite simple that we can anticipate that following a record decline, we're going to get a record-sized bounce back. There are going to be record-breaking bounces, not least because everything fell so much. It's after the bounce. How quickly do we get back to the very low unemployment that we had at the beginning of the year? And it might take a while. One thing that we can certainly think about, though, is that there's going to be a lot more spending. Deficits are going to continue to expand. Eventually, it is going to result in a problem. And we are starting to see that at least some questioning of the deflationary hypothesis is coming through. There's no question that we're in a deflationary spiral at present. It's really what happens next. Is deflation baked in the cake for years to come, or are we sowing the seeds of inflation? Certainly the rising activity in the real estate market, whether that is in the USA or in the UK or elsewhere, is suggestive of continued demand. Then we have the front loading of purchases, particularly for luxury goods. That's also suggestive of some eagerness to live one's best life now rather than delayed gratification. We've certainly had the kind of discussion in our house that I suspect that many other people have had as well, that we're thinking about moving to better accommodations. We're looking at a bigger place. We're thinking that we're probably going to need more space. The kids are of an age now where they probably, they have definitely said they want more space. And we're looking at the potential for the next school year where there will be four of us all working from home. And that, of course, is going to require more space. So there is certainly that demand factor that is probably going to be a significant driver for a lot of people. And that's also inflationary. So we have to start thinking about what the outcome from all of these actions is likely to be, rather than simply looking at what is going on at present. Then we are positioned, well, I think when we look at the performance of stock markets, where the vast majority were in positive territory today, well, we can also see that Europe was up more than the USA, and Japan was up more than Europe. When we look at the Euro stocks index, it has had an equal-sized reaction, and it is bouncing now, and it's still below the trend mean, but so far this has been a reasonably equal-sized reaction. And then if we think about the euro, well, the euro was in negative territory today, and that countermands the pop that we had on the upside yesterday, but so far it doesn't look like much more than a consolidation in the region of the peak from back in March. The most important thing that the currency has done over the course of the last 2.5 years has been to break the downtrend. So we may see some additional consolidation, but it is looking increasingly likely that the dollar's multi-year period of outperformance is over. Then when we think about how Europe is likely to perform, well, the euro is at the upper side of a 3-year range against the renminbi, and it was also in negative territory in here today. So we may see some additional consolidation, but there is the potential here that Europe is willing to now at least consider solutions to its long-term challenges. And that is new news. That is something that was really not on the table before, and it is likely to be beneficial for Europe going forward. When we think about what is going on in the bond markets in Europe, well, we've seen that spreads have contracted really quite significantly. When we look at, for example, even Greek debt, which had been basically written off in the during the sovereign debt crisis, it's now trading at 1.16%, having been as high as 35% for a good period of time in 2012. So there is certainly the willingness to look at Europe and potentially think that there is a solution somewhere out there on the horizon. The banking sector in Europe has also steadied from the upper side of its range. This looks very similar to the kind of patterns that we're seeing in some of the oil producers, where they have also steadied above their ranges. Oil prices or at least have been steadying over the course of the last few days, and we're in positive territory in here today. This continues to look like a type 2 bottom, where we had the loss of downward momentum, the failed downside break, and this is looking like a massive reaction against the prevailing downtrend. So it is looking increasingly likely that the $20 level is the low for this cycle. Now the question is, how high are prices going to go before we start to see supply coming back into the market? At $40, that's not a particular threat, but perhaps at $60, we may start to see some of that supply coming back into the market. But it does suggest that there's the potential, at least, that some of the oil, the most sold-off oil producers, are probably close to a bottom as well. That doesn't, of course, mean that we aren't going to see some bankruptcies in the sector. But one of the most important things is that when we look at some of the risks and the leverage that have built up in the debt markets over the course of the last decade, and not least because of the massive amount of credit that's been made available through quantitative easing, well, that is a clear rationale for why we have central banks and governments rushing to pour money into the market. They are trying their very best to avoid the collapse of the collateralized loan market, or indeed the leveraged loan market. When we think about the and I'm just going to pull up a leveraged loan ETF. The leverage loans pulled back in exactly the same way that a number of the bond ETFs did in March, but they have also rebounded. Perhaps not as strongly as the treasury bonds have, or indeed the investment grade have, but certainly there has been a rebound. And that potentially delays at least the potential that the collateralized loan obligation market is going to become problematic. The very fact that the Federal Reserve has changed course over the course of the last year to be preemptive rather than reactive is by far the most profound change in central banking we've had in the last decade. It pretty much means that there's likely to be a bubble, and that valuations might be extraordinary today, but that they may get more extraordinary. That is the nature of a stock market bubble. and an asset bubble generally. I am rather reminded, or I guess it's incorrect to say reminded because I was born in 1976, but the student protests in 1968 were the seedbed for inflation in the 1970s. It is quite likely that the social unrest and the young people out protesting on the streets today are the seedbed for the inflation that we could see in the 2020s. And that, I think, is something that makes bonds a rather bad investment in the near term. But obviously, one of the most successful strategies in the market over the course of the last decade has been risk parity. And that has been, I think, vindicated over the course of the last while. But gold is probably likely to be a better counterbalance to equities over the next while. And the price continues to hold around this $1,700 area, and it is unwinding the overbought condition relative to the trend mean. It is, I think, quite likely that we are probably going to see new highs put in the gold price over the course of the next 12 months in US dollar terms. That's not an especially ambitious target, considering that it is already at significant new highs in a number of other currencies. But what we have seen in currencies outside the US dollar has been a rather significant rebound in the gold price and holding the sequence of higher reaction lows. A much more pronounced process of mean reversion has occurred in a number of these currencies. The Australian dollar, for example, has bounced, or gold in Australian dollars has bounced from the region of its trend mean. Therefore, when we go back and think about it in US dollars, this doesn't look like anything more than a consolidation. The rather impressive pop on the upside that we had for gold shares yesterday from the region of the upper side of the base formation, I think, is also noteworthy. The simple fact of the matter is that gold miners are making out like bandits right now. They have had the significant deterioration in the oil price, while gold prices have held up, and they are in the majority, or at least the majority of them, are capable of producing gold well below $1,000, and it's currently trading around $1,700. So if we were to bet on one sector capable of raising dividends, it's going to be the gold shares. Now, the number of cases for the coronavirus are rising in Beijing, and they have introduced some lockdown measures. Now, this is a political hot potato for China, because they have been trumpeting their success in combating the virus, and now they've had to lock down significant portions of the capital city. The industrial metals index is right in the region of the trend mean, and it is still trending downwards over the last 2 years. So we're going to have to see it sustain a move above the trend mean in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Copper, however, is consolidating above the trend mean, and it has been leading on the upside. It has clearly posted a failed break below the 250-cent level, and as long as it is holding that area, then I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to recovery, and not least because of the increasing potential for infrastructure development. Now, there were 20 Indian soldiers died on the border with China today, and these skirmishes have been picking up steadily over the course of the last while. Now, we can think about why that might be the case. Is it because China suddenly thinks that a strip of land in the Himalayas is worth fighting over? Or is it very convenient that this stoking of nationalist tension is occurring at exactly the same time that a lockdown was announced in Beijing? So there is the clear scope here that regional tensions are going to become more of an issue the greater the threat to the Communist Party that the coronavirus represents. Now, the Nifty index was in positive territory, and it has continued to stabilize above the range put in between April and May. So it is fighting its way back up, but India has been underperforming other markets. It's also, I think, worth considering that a number of regional currencies have been doing better, and the Philippine peso was stronger in a rather dynamic manner in here today, and it has been trending, the dollar's been trending down against it for more than a year and a half already. This is a really quite pronounced trend of appreciation for the Philippine peso. We're definitely seeing isolated incidences of outperformance relative to the US dollar. Now, when we look at Japan, it had a particularly impressive move in here today, and that is confirming support in the region of the trend mean as well. It is really now within striking distance of the upper side of the range that has proceeded for the last 2.5 years, and a sustained move above 24,000 would complete this multi-year process of consolidation. The most important point is that it has, despite the shock that we had at the be in March, it has been able to sustain this breakout above the 20,000 level, and it looks like a first step above the base. And I think that is one of the more encouraging factors that we have in just simply in terms of the chart patterns. And that is equally true for Taiwan. When we just zoom out and look at how long it has been since the Taiwanese market has been able to trade above the 10,000 level, it is looking increasingly likely that this also is a first step above the base. So we can look at what's going on in markets, and the reality is that the fire hose of massive monetary and fiscal stimulus has chastened the bears. It has certainly chastened me. I underestimated the willingness of central banks to come in after only 2 or 3 days on the downside. I really thought it would probably take a bit longer than that before they really got active in supporting the market. But we have had multiple announcements of additional stimulus in the last 24 hours, and that is certainly helping to support markets. So we are now back in more of a risk-on environment, and that is likely to remain the case as long as they are willing to continue to stimulate. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.